I'm still following the lectionary, that pre-chosen list of verses for churches and preachers that decide to have scripture passages chosen in this way. And for this morning, the lectionary has brought up 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and that is the story of God calling Samuel. So be listening for the word of the Lord speaking to us through these verses. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This sermon is designed to keep you alert when it comes to God's presence in your life, to get you to be ever listening for God calling you, and to have you in such a position that when God does call, you will know how to respond. Before we get into any of that, I want to ask you a question about sermons. What is your favorite kind of sermon? You know, there are all different kinds of sermons. There's the expository sermon. It's where the preacher takes a chunk of scripture and just mines that passage for all it's worth, drawing everything out of it that the preacher possibly can. I often preach expository sermons here. Then there's the topical sermon, where the preacher picks a theme and then gathers all sorts of scriptures from all through the Bible in support of that theme to help people understand a particular topic. I don't do too much topical preaching. Maybe you've missed that. And then there's verse by verse. That seems to be a favorite of many folks, where the preacher has a Bible in hand and reads one verse and then explains what it means, then goes on to the next verse and explains what it means, and so on and so forth. I don't do much of that because, for me, verses usually don't stand alone. They have to be set in context. So I don't do a whole lot of verse-by-verse preaching. And again, maybe you've missed that. I'm just wondering, what's your favorite kind of sermon? Have you ever thought about that? And I know some of you out there are thinking to yourself now, brief. That's my favorite kind of sermon, brief. Well, I would say expository is probably my favorite kind of sermon to preach. You've already guessed that. But then I thought about my least favorite kind of sermon. And I think my least favorite kind of sermon is the list sermon. Do you know what I mean? The list sermon, it's where the preacher takes a verse or a passage and then says, I have any number of points to make. Like, This story about the Philistines has seven things to teach us about how to rear our children. That's a list sermon. And I really don't like list sermons. I don't like listening to them. I don't like preaching them. Because, you know, once you know as a hearer how many points there are in a sermon, doesn't it take away from your ability to listen? Because let's say it's like a seven-point sermon. And by the time you get to point number four, if it's not going well and you're getting bored, you're like, oh my goodness, how many points do I have left, right? That's distracting. Or, you know, when you get to point number six, right, then you're, hallelujah. And that's distracting too. I remember I was once subjected to a preacher who had a list sermon, and the preacher had 12 points, 12 things. And by the time we got to like number five, I was crying out to Jesus, please, Lord, let the rapture occur now. And I'm not even pre-trib in my theology, so I don't like list sermons. So, the story of God calling Samuel has several things to teach us about listening to God. And I'm not going to tell you how many points I have, right? Because I'm going to try to game the system a little bit here. Yes, today I'm preaching a list sermon for you. And it's true, though. I think there's a lot we can learn from this very, very simple story of God calling Samuel. And the first thing is that God may just call you when you least expect it. Samuel was not expecting God to call him. In fact, we're told in the story that this happened at a time when words from the Lord were rare. Hardly anybody was hearing from God. You may be sitting out there this morning and thinking, oh, you know, I just don't really hear from God. I mean, in that kind of visceral way that lets you know that was God speaking. Oh, it seems like other people around here hear from God that way, like every day, like multiple times every day, like, what kind of breakfast cereal should I have this morning, Lord? And, you know, the Lord said, Cheerios, I heard it. But me, I just don't hear from God. And maybe you're out there thinking to yourself, I've never heard from God like that. So the word of the Lord is a little rare in your life, perhaps. That doesn't mean that God won't call you. And I know there's a movement, and we have some of it going on here, and I'm not saying this is a bad movement. Crying out for God, calling out to God. And I think there's biblical precedent for that, and I don't think that's something that we should stop doing. I think if we desire God, we should make that desire known. But I think through the Bible, there's also this strain that says, sometimes God just surprises the living daylights out of people and calls them and puts a claim on their lives and gives them a purpose when they weren't crying out to God at all. I mean, you know, Abram was totally surprised by God's call, as was Moses. And I mean, the list kind of goes on. So there is this counterpoint that if you've been crying out to God and you haven't been hearing, or even if you haven't been crying out to God at all, beware. You might just be next on God's list. Second thing is, and here's another thing I don't like about list sermons. I hardly ever have to check my outline, but when I do a list, right, then I have to. God's call may not be all that dramatic. This was not a Hollywood production, right? I mean, the movies, when God speaks. Think Cecil B. DeMille, right? It's always dramatic. Crash, boom, this is God. It may not happen like that for you. I mean, with Samuel, it was... It was so ambiguous that he thought Eli, the priest, was calling him. And you heard it. He went to Eli 3 times. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? I didn't call you for anything. Go back to bed. And like by the 3rd time, I just hear some real annoyance in Eli's voice until he realizes what's really happening. Isn't that interesting? God was calling Samuel, and Samuel thought it was Eli. God called Samuel, and it sounded like somebody else. It sounded like just another human being to Eli. Wow. So much for the big Cecil B. DeMille production, right? Where it's just so abundantly clear that this is God calling. So sometimes when God calls us, it's ambiguous at first. And we might think it's somebody else. We might confuse the voice of God with somebody else. And that might not be a totally bad thing. You know, God's voice, when God calls us, might originally sound to us like the voice of a friend or a parent or a fellow church member or a coach or a boss. I remember when God called me into ordained ministry. God's voice sounded exactly like the Reverend Newell J. Smith, who was pastor of the Stockholm United Methodist Church back in the 80s. God called me, and I thought it was Pastor Smith. Because Pastor Smith pulled me aside one Sunday and said, I'd like to talk with you. Can you make an appointment to meet me in my office? And I did, and during that meeting, he said, I want to tell you that I see in you the gifts and graces of a pastor. I just want to let you know that. See, I thought it was my pastor talking to me. It sounded like my pastor, but as the years went on, I realized it was not. It was God. It was God calling me. So sometimes God's voice is a little ambiguous, but that might not be a bad thing. Sometimes it might originally sound to you like the voice of just another human being, maybe even the person you're sitting next to in the pew this morning. Who knows? All right, what number am I on? See, it's another reason I don't like list sermons. I can never remember what number I'm on. Number three. Third thing. God may need to call us more than once, right? How many times did God have to call Samuel? 4 times. 4 times. I think we get it in our heads sometimes that God's going to call once, and if you don't answer the call, too bad. Snooze, you lose. That's not really what the story is teaching, is it? God just keeps calling Samuel, and I get the sense that God would have called many more times until Samuel answered. It's kind of like when you have a young child. I mean, a very, very young child. Have you ever noticed to get the child to respond, sometimes you have to do like this whole string of words, the same word, to get the child to get a sense of what you want him or her to do, right? Stop that. Stop, 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 right? Don't you have to do that? And I tell you, I think sometimes kids are really savvy. I think that they're just trying to wear us down so that we'll forget about whatever it is we want them to do or stop doing. And my son Nathan, when he was very, very young, was a master at this. I'd catch him like eating a crayon, and I'd say, Nathan, take that crayon out of your mouth. And he'd say, what? And I'd say, that crayon, take it out of your mouth. And he'd say, what? And I'd say, what you've got in your mouth, take it out, spit it out. And he'd say, what? And then I would just give up and be like, okay, what does fuchsia taste like anyway? But I think what the story is telling us is that God doesn't give up. God will just keep calling and calling and calling, and that God doesn't wear down. Have you ever been like Nathan with God? Yeah, I have. Blake, what? Blake, what? I want you to do this. What? I've never worn God down with that. All right, fifth, I think. No, fourth. Some of you are keeping track out there better than I am. When God calls us by name. God calls us by name. God knows who we are. God doesn't call like, hey, hey, son, hey, ma'am, hey, occupant. You know, God just doesn't do that. God doesn't need to do that because God knows who we are. Have you ever gotten a call from a telemarketer where the telemarketer is like pretending to know you? I've gotten those calls. Why, good afternoon, Mr. Westheath. How are you today? I would like to interest you in an electric dog polisher. You know, and then I'll say, well, first of all, my name's not Westheath. And some of you out there, I know, are thinking, what? His name's not Westheath? And I don't have a dog. God knows our name. God calls us by name. He knows who we are. He knows what we are. He knows what we're capable of doing. Fifth. God apparently will call the inexperienced and the unimportant. Because that was Samuel. He was just a boy, not very important. He was inexperienced. He wasn't even close to becoming a priest or a prophet. And God called him. Think about that. That means that when God calls us, we can't say, I'm too inexperienced, I'm too unimportant. You know, I'm just a lay person, I'm not ordained, I couldn't do that. Oh, I'm only 12 years old. Nope, can't do that. Oh, I'm retired, I'm in my 80s. Can't say those things. Because God calls the inexperienced and the unimportant. And if God is going to call Samuel, then God could call anyone, regardless of age or social position or education or experience. Sixth. All that's needed from us is a response. Once we figure out that it is God calling, once we work through the issues of, well, God would never call me to do that, once we understand that this is the one true living God revealed to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, creator of all, the one who will be victorious over sin and evil, when we realize that, yes, that is who is calling, all we need to do is respond with, basically, all right, I'm listening. Eli told Samuel, the next time this happens, after the third time, just say, speak, for your servant is listening. It doesn't say that we have to have God's plan all figured out. It doesn't say that God has to reveal, like, every step of the journey that we're going to be taken on. Nope. What matters most is a constant attitude toward God. That's one of openness and attentiveness. Hey, guess what? That was the last point. So you may be here this morning thinking, well, okay, I wonder what God would call me to do. Wow, that's about as varied as the different kinds of people that we have in the sanctuary this morning. And I don't know what God would call you to do. You might not know either. But here are some things that I do know about God's call that I firmly believe. That if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that phrase doesn't mean anything to you. I believe that God, before anything else, would be calling you to a relationship through Jesus' death and resurrection. And if there's anyone here that would ever want to talk more about that, please, please know that you can call me, email me, whatever. And I would be ready, willing, and able to sit down with you and talk to you about that. If you're here and you do know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, here's something else that I firmly believe. That God has a place for everyone in the body of Christ as the living, breathing presence of the risen Lord in this broken and hurting world. The means, the physical means by which Jesus is now seeking to continue his ministry of teaching, healing, and casting out evil. You've got a role in that. I don't know exactly what it would be, and I will save it for other sermons too to talk about some of the ways that you could get to a little bit more clarity on what God might be calling you to do. But this I know. God is calling. And maybe you've heard the voice of the Lord and responded, speak, your servant is listening, and you found that place where God wants you to be serving. Maybe it's within the life of the church. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's outside in the world. Maybe it's through your job. Maybe it's through your family. Who knows? I mean, the options are just wide open. But if you're here this morning and you're thinking to yourself right now, I don't even know, take heart. Because God is calling. And be ready to say, just as Samuel did, speak. Your servant is listening.